Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we continue to study about the disciples and how we can learn from their lives and walk a pathway you want us to be on to bring honor and glory to you. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our series on the disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got the next three that we have on our list that are not talked about very much, which is James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and also Simon the Zealot. But let's go through these three simultaneously here, because as I say, there's not a whole lot said about them. Let's first look at Matthew chapter 10, where once again it lists the names of the 12 disciples. As it reads in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." That great commission, sending them out. That's what identified them not only as disciples, but as apostles. Let's look at a couple of these names we have on our list here. One we have is James, the son of Alphaeus, where we have it listed, James, the son of Alphaeus, in verse 3 there. He was also known as James the Younger, or James the Less. So he being the lesser would probably indicate there he's either a small stature or just because he was younger. And also, it's interesting to know that is a good possibility that he was actual brother to Matthew, because Matthew, who is also known as Levi, is also the son of Alphaeus. So these two, James and Matthew, may have been brothers. But as you know, throughout the Bible, there's a lot of names that are the same. There may have been another Alphaeus. We're not given details in the scriptures that James and Matthew were actual brothers, but they are both listed as the sons of Alphaeus. Now also we have Thaddeus mentioned, where it says Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. So he's known as Lebbaeus, and he's also known as Jude, and as Judas, the son of James. So Thaddeus is known in those various ways. So we got to understand who you talking about when you see the word, or I should say the name Jude, or Judas, or Lebbaeus, or Thaddeus. So he was known by several names. And then you have the other one, which is Simon. We have Simon Peter, but then you have Simon the Canaanite. So we have two Simons. Now, Simon the Canaanite was also known as Simon the Zealot. So we have these three, like I say, haven't been mentioned a lot in their behavior, their attitudes, their experiences. But let's continue and look further as we see that they were ordained. Over in Mark chapter 3, how he has enlisted here as the disciples, and being ordained means that you've been given a task, a special ordination from the Lord to do a work. And in Mark chapter 3, Let's pick it up here in verse 13. It reads, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. That's specifically pointing out you 12 have a special task, a special purpose, a special job to do, just as we read in Matthew about being sent out as apostles. It reads, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house." So we see how they were given a special task to be sent out. That's when they were designated as apostles, as we see recorded back there in Matthew as well. So we know that James, Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot were all considered an apostle and sent out, just like the others that we've been studying. Now, some other things we find that they had the experience of is, of course, the Last Supper. In Matthew chapter 26, let's pick it up here, the account as we read in Matthew 26 and verse 17. It reads, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city of such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." Now it's believed that the house that he's speaking of here was actually the house of Mark, and his father that he was talking about here. As it continues, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." Now we'll cover this again when we get into the further study about Judas Iscariot. We have a lot more recorded about Judas Iscariot. But here we see that these disciples were there. We know that he called his 12, and we know we've already been given a list of those 12. So within that, we know that we have the next three that we've been studying here, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, or the Canaanite. All were there, part of that group at that time, as well as Judas Iscariot. Now, we also know that these three disciples that we're currently studying today, as well as the others, were given that great commission. The commission that is given to all of us that have chosen to receive the free gift of salvation that the Lord has available to us and become one of His disciples. Because when you give your life over to the Lord, then you become a student of the Lord. And that's what a disciple means, that you are a student, or a follower. And when we are a student and a follower of the Lord, He gives us an opportunity to be a part of His work. And in that, He gives us a commission, which is an authorization to do a work. And He emphasizes this over in Matthew chapter 28, which was given to the disciples, where it reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them," who? To the disciples. "And by this time," is after the resurrection and just before the ascension, that the Lord is speaking to the disciples. At this point, it's only the 11, because Judas Iscariot has already betrayed him. And it reads, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That great commission given to them as well as to us. And we see this also reemphasized over in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Now that's speaking of the ascension. The other great event that took place that we honor and acknowledge when Jesus Christ ascended. Of course, we know after the resurrection, he stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching. And then he ascended up to the Father in the presence of his disciples as well as many others. And 10 days later, they were given the blessing of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But let's look at that account. We've covered it already. I'm sure you might be saying, yeah, we're going to go back over it again, because it is so important that we emphasize this and acknowledge this, because the event of the ascension of Jesus Christ is so important. It is so critical that we understand and know exactly what took place. He not only raised from the grave, but he ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, the mediator. And we see here recorded in Acts chapter 1 that event. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Note, whom he had chosen. We'll get into this further as we continue to read. The key is the apostles were chosen by Jesus Christ. The disciples were chosen by Jesus Christ, not by man. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Reemphasizing once again that great commission to go out and spread the gospel. As it continues, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, as ye see have seen him go into heaven." And that's some awesome words of assurance there, letting us also know that we have to look forward to that same event, a rapturing, a bringing up of us to the Lord, up into heaven, up to be with Jesus Christ, to be there and be within and part of that judgment seat of Christ. while down here, the things that are going on, the judgments that are coming upon this planet through the tribulation time, then we'll return with Jesus Christ, along with these disciples that we've been studying about, to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, then a millennial period. And at the end of that millennial period, another great judgment, the great white throne judgment. And then all that you've ever done will all be rewarded to you that you've done in service for the Lord. And all those that have failed to serve the Lord, that have not received Him, will receive their judgment as well. And we'll all be held accountable or rewarded, whatever applies, and then be able to go into that beautiful new earth and beautiful existence with Jesus Christ for eternity, all that to look forward to. And He gave us those examples of being raptured up so that we can be confident that we will be caught up with Him as well. And as it continues in verse 12, then returned they, which was the 11 disciples this time, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Note, they all came together and all under one accord. That means they all had things in common belief. Now, note what happens. Now, we can't be too hard on them. They had not yet received the totally indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But notice what they do. Reads, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. Talking about how Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus Christ. Reads, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, a Seladama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it was written in the Book of Psalms, lest his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, right here is where he starts to mess up. He's looking at, let his bishopric not be left unoccupied. He's talking about that position as being a disciple. Now, this is Peter making the decision here as he continues. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. These folks that are left here are trying to make a decision on their own to choose a replacement for Judas Iscariot. They want to make the decision to choose someone. But as we read over in chapter 1, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, whom Jesus Christ had chosen. Now Peter's stepping up and trying to make a decision to fill the office that is left vacant by the death of Judas Iscariot. Reads, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whom was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they assume here and put Matthias as replacement for Judas Iscariot. Note, this was not a miraculous revelation to Matthias. He did not have the commission given him face to face directly by Jesus Christ, calling him and naming him as one of his 12. But the apostles, the other 11, decided to choose him and make him part of the group. We know that the Lord himself chose Saul, which he then named Paul, to fill that position, not Matthias, because you don't see any other mention of Matthias any further in the New Testament. None of his works, none of his experiences or anything. So that would lead me to believe that he was not supposed to be in that position as named as one of the 12. That was the position that Paul was given by the Lord. So we got to always know, we got to be careful when we try to step up and try to do the things that are supposed to be done by the Lord when we try to do them ourselves. Try to fulfill things that should be fulfilled by the Lord, not by us. Now, we know that this event took place before they were indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Now, once they received the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, they had a lot more wisdom. And they didn't do quite as many foolish things afterwards. Does it make you perfect when you receive the Holy Ghost? No, you still have that tug of war within you. But it sure gives you a lot more wisdom, and you can understand the will of the Lord a whole lot better. But let's look at that event real quick here in Acts chapter 2. The day that the 12, because they had named Matthias, but in addition to those, there was a lot of folks. It's thought to be, like it mentioned there earlier, above 120 folks that were gathered together. And we don't have the exact number of how many was given this indwelling spirit on the day of Pentecost, but let's read the account here. In Acts chapter 2, reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." So that indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost comes upon these apostles, these disciples, all of which we have studied so far, and others that were there. And they began to preach and teach, and actually be able to speak in the tongues that they were not native to. As it continues, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Now these are Israelites, but they were scattered into surrounding nations, as we know from speaking about the history, how the Assyrians conquered the northern communities and scattered them about. And then later the southern kingdoms were conquered by the Medes and Persians and taken into captivity into Babylon. Many of them were scattered about as well. And they grew up in those other areas, and having grown up in those other areas, they learned to speak those other nations' tongues. Some of them would then later learn also to speak in the Hebrew tongue. And they have now gathered for the Pentecost, and now they hear this preaching in their tongue that is not a Hebrew tongue. In verse 12, it reads, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men be full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to further teach them. And he delivers an awesome sermon to them, and a lot of folks get saved. But note here in verse 12 again, but Peter standing up with the 11. Here they're counting Matthias as being part of the 12. Thus going back to the number of the 12 disciples, which was Peter's intent. But you don't see any other mention of Matthias in the scriptures. So now we have covered all of the original 11 disciples. We have yet to do Judas Iscariot. We've briefly discussed Judas during the reading about the Last Supper, and also in the book of Acts, where Peter was talking about him as he had burst asunder because Judas went out to hang himself. But we'll get further into that, because that's the next one we have to study, is Judas Iscariot. But let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to study a little bit more about these disciples. Help us to learn from their experiences, apply it to our lives so that we can learn both from the things they did right and the things they did wrong, and be able to walk the pathway you want us to be on, to always bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do, and to keep our eyes on you and off of the things of the world that could pull us away from serving you. We thank you so much for the opportunities you give us each and every day. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.